Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
About to get that football fix, and we got Ian Eagle coming up in 20 minutes or so. Mark Schlereth at 4:40-ish, a loaded third hour of the G-Bag Nation. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, and you. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day here on a glorious TD Tuesday as we get closer and closer on a holiday week. Christmas Eve tomorrow, Christmas Day on Thursday. Cowboys Commanders kicking off at noon, pregame at 9 a.m. right here on your home of Dallas Cowboys football. But let's do it, shall we? Let's get our football fix.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
The Pro Bowl teams have been announced. Six Ravens, Broncos, Niners, and Hawks were selected to the game. The defending champion Eagles, along with our Dallas Cowboys, Lions, and Chargers, are sending five players to the Pro Bowl this year.
Who had none?
Who had none? Who do you think had none?
Jets.
The Jets, Saints, and Vikings.
The Vikings
were the only teams without a representative.
Yeah.
Damn.
Holy jeez.
Yeah, the Vikings is surprising. I mean, you'd think Justin Jefferson would have been a given, but hasn't been a good year.
Yeah. George Pickens.
George Pickens. He did. Pickens and Lamb didn't even get in, so Pickens said, hold my beer, boys. I'm going to do this. First time getting into the Pro Bowl. Shout out to Quinnen Williams as well, who is the Cowboys representative. That probably would have been the Jets' lone representative, but Quinnen gets in after getting traded to the Cowboys, and he'll be here for a long, long time and hopefully doing amazing things. Quinnen asked about that, being limited in practice and making the Pro Bowl. He said, quote, I feel very good. I'm just working, progressing, doing the things I need to do to be as healthy as I can be, just doing everything I can to get cleared and be able to go out there and dominate and play alongside with the team on the Pro Bowl nod. That's dope, but it's one of those things. I want the ultimate team accolades, and that's going to the playoffs, and that's winning the Super Bowl, said Quinnen Williams. He's going to join Tyler Smith, Dak Prescott, and Brandon Aubrey as the other Cowboys that will be in the Pro Bowl. And again, this year, it's a little different. I think it's on the Tuesday of Super Bowl week, if I'm not mistaken, and they're doing
we'll
Pro Bowl
there,
games.
Right?
Yeah, we should be. I mean, we might be able to get some awesome audio. We could do some man on the street stuff.
Yeah.
Send Eric out there in some weird, crazy overall outfit, or who knows, maybe a jock strap, G-string.
Yeah,
he'd be into that.
We're in San Francisco, right?
Oh, you're onto something. I've never been to San Francisco, but I have heard things.
Nice city.
Very interesting things.
Nice city.
I think they got a lot of
great food.
A lot of work wives there, in San Francisco, right? All right, moving on. speaking of the Vikings, Mike McCarthy, he's out with a hairline fracture in the hand. So that's another Christmas Day game.
Yeah.
It is officially going to be Brosmer again getting the start. And that was not good when he had to play a couple of weeks ago. So that's going to be an ugly second game.
Cowboys never can catch a break, can they?
When it comes to like these quarterbacks,
no.
I don't think, have they played against a backup quarterback this year? I mean, they will, I guess, this week.
They
I suppose
this week,
we're saying this, and it's going to be Josh Johnson. But again, even if it was a backup quarterback, I'm feeling probably going to look really good.
That's a good question.
I don't think they have. I don't think they have played it, but I could be wrong. 877-881-1053. I'm sure the truckwreck.com text line will have our back on this. But Colts lose last night, and Phillip Rivers did look good for the first half, and then things just went sputtering out of control in the second as Brock Purdy. Purdy, five TDs, looking real good. He was looking nicey. I'm sure he was nicey on John Gruden's list. Bills, Chargers, Jags, all clinch playoff berths thanks to the Colts list. Lost right there.
List
loss. It's a lot of words, man. So pretty much we know the AFC field now. It'll be the Broncos, the Patriots, the Jags, the Chargers, and the Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
All we need is your AFC North winner, which is looking like the Steelers, but there's still an outside chance it could be Baltimore, and they'll play in the season finale. And then the final wild card spot, which I think it's going to be the Texans. I think they can clinch this weekend that spot. They're 10-5 right now. The only other team in contention would be the Colts, and it doesn't look like anything good is happening there in Indy. I mean, they've totally fallen apart with the running game. Defensively, they're not playing really well. But the old quarterbacks, man, what a weekend it was for them. And Aaron Rodgers had a mic'd up moment. 42 years old. Rivers is getting it done at 44. Here was Rodgers as he was just running around all over the Lions.
Oh, you don't want me to help you pick it up?
No.
Why? Because you're slower than a 42-year-old? Is that why? You're slower than a 42-year-old?
I love it. I mean, I hate Aaron Rodgers. He lives in my nightmares. He haunts me to this day.
Wow.
After what he did. But all of a sudden, the 40-plus-year-old QB really making a comeback. I mean, I'm just waiting for Brady to announce he's coming out of retirement. That's the next thing. Brady's going to say, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to do it, boys.
I don't think he will.
I don't think so either. There's too much money to be made. But you got to think watching Rivers go out there and do what he's doing with that bod. I mean, that's a grandpa bod right there. That ain't even a dad bod.
That's not even a dad
that's,
bod.
That's grandpa's ever.
Yeah.
George Kittle gets banged up in the game. And George Kittle always good for some solid audio. But here was good old George Pickens post-game. How is he feeling?
Pretty excited. We won Monday Night Football on the road. It is after 12 already. Can't wait to get on a plane and go home. My concern level, I don't think it's a high ankle sprain. So, you know, we'll take it one day at a time. And we'll go from there.
And we'll go from there.
Go from there. Well, he did go on to say he thought it was a hip drop tackle that got him.
Yeah.
And it did. Going back and watching it, I think he did get the hip drop tackle. But he came back in and played some. Didn't look bad. They've got a massive game Sunday Night Football with the Bears. Oh, yeah. This thing, and they're going to be wearing their throwback 90s jerseys.
The one that won the Shadows?
Yeah, that they won the Super Bowl in.
Super Bowl wins, yeah.
And those look fantastic. They really do. So that's going to be a must-tune in. I mean, I know Christmas Day, we've been talking about that, and we'll have Ian Eagle on the other side who's going to be on the call, and his son Noah Eagle will have the second game, which I believe is Vikings-Lions. But, man, that Sunday nighter is going to be one for the season. 49ers, Brock Purdy, he's doing the Toyota cars again. Now, we found out last year he's got the relationship with
he's
Toyota.
He's got a dealership, huh?
Yeah, basically. He's got the Saban.
Yeah.
But he's giving cars to military vets and families in need during Christmas.
So not his own teammates.
No, he did the teammates thing last year. I don't know what he's gifting the teammates this year. I'm sure he'll pivot and do something else. But Purdy giving away several Toyota vehicles to the military veterans and families.
That's very nice of him.
Yeah, that's a good buy too. Like,
dude, they're good cars.
Let me get a 4Runner or something like that, fam. Yes. They last forever. The resale value is amazing, and they hardly ever break down.
Then they're expensive. Because I went to try and get one
they're
of the 4Runners.
Bro.
Because, like, you're right. I mean, they last forever. They're reliable. They're good family cars.
Yep.
But, dude, the monthly payment on it.
Yeah.
Ooh, we pivoted. But I still want to get
it. It could be
one.
In the 90s and still going to cost you four or five figures.
They've got some. I mean, they do. Toyota's a great vehicle. We're going to work with each family for their specific need on vehicle make and model. So if they want the 4Runner, they're going to get it. The Sequoia, whatever it is, the Camry, Sienna, they'll hook them up. So
Camrys look nice, too. Those new Camrys, my God.
Fans, it used to be like you're going to get made fun of. You're in the mom van.
Yeah.
Not anymore, man. Mm-mm. These vans get. And with the kids, I've learned this now. There's something to be said about the sliding door.
Yeah.
Versus the one that just, you know, you pull it, now you're dinging and hitting all kinds of things.
All the fingers lost in the 80s and 90s, bro.
Oh, just kidding.
The Astro Van, Ford head? Come on.
Oh, God.
Now it's
the celebrity
Astro
joint?
Now they all come with the sensors on there. You don't have to worry about it. It's awesome. But yeah, what they're doing with the vans, it's looking fantastic.
I miss the Good Times van back in the 70s.
Okay.
We used to have that with the couches in the back and the area. They're like the captain's seats that spin around and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was our vacation van. Yeah. Dad had that one, but he got tired of driving after a while because we're in the back playing Super Nintendo, having a great time watching Jim Carrey movies. And he's, hey, all right.
Incredible.
Let me ask you a real quick question.
Yeah, please
Lucius,
do.
Was your dad a stopper? And I mean a stopper.
Like on road trips?
Like something cool going on?
Yeah, like, somebody needed to go to the restroom. Is your dad like, no, we don't have time for that?
He'll kind of get to it. He'll pull all over for you after a while. Yeah. He might roll his eyes. It might be another 45 minutes. You're like, man, I told dad I got to pee. Yeah. We're going to pass my 8 McDonald's.
Yeah.
No, we're still going.
Yeah.
Foot on the gas.
I know a spot. Well, I know a spot.
I have a friend, though, that when we come back from fishing trips, like, we'll do stuff like if we want to get something to eat. If it has to be on the side we're traveling on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. We're not doubling back, bro. No.
There's no crossover.
No, we're not doubling back.
Like, it could be like a Sonic on the left or, you know, a Whataburg or whatever on the left. But no, we're going through. We're going to pass by all these places. Like, hey, bro, they're over there. Whoa, over there. Next thing you know, I'm like at a gas station, and nothing wrong with beef jerky or Slim Jims.
Right, maybe a taquito.
All you had to do was take a left, and we were over there.
We had the Dairy Queen right there, bro.
Yeah,
we passed
it. Steak finger back. Yeah, I've even
on the other side.
I've even offered to buy. Like, listen, bro, if you just pull it over there,
nope.
I'll buy.
Not happening.
Oh, no, man. We got to keep going. Keep going.
Sorry about it, buddy.
God.
Deal with it. So sorry if I did the Mike McCarthy for the J.J. McCarthy and the George Kittle, George Pickens. We got a lot of Georges. We got a lot of McCarthys here.
I heard you do it, but I didn't want to say anything.
No, say it. Hold me accountable.
No, I don't want to do that.
Do it, man. Do it. This DK Metcalf story, it's not looking good for DK. Now, maybe the suspension gets reduced because there is a video out right now of the fan turning back and walking to his seat saying, like, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to get that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
This fan was totally a jerk. But DK could be losing a lot of money. The 2-game suspension for what the NFL terms conduct detrimental to the league now voids at least $45 million in future guaranteed money from the Steelers. Metcalf would still be able to earn that money over the next 2 years, but it's not guaranteed.
Oh, no. So he lost the because of conduct detrimental.
Yeah, if it's upheld.
Yep. This is huge.
Huge. Absolutely huge. 2026, his salary of $25 million was previously fully guaranteed. Should he be suspended at least one game, that guarantee will void.
What?
No. Yeah. Nuts. The voided guarantees are more important in 27 when $20 million in salary has been injury protected. If Metcalf suffers a major injury in the 2026 season that kept him from passing a physical in March of 27, he would be guaranteed $20 million for that upcoming season. If the suspension holds, that guarantee goes away, which would give the Steelers a potential financial out after 2 seasons, should they wish to not need him. That's a lot of lost money, man.
That's appropriate music right there, Lucius.
That is an all-time mistake from DK Metcalf, and I don't know what was said. There's a lot of rumors out of what was said, and I understand him reacting that way if what was said was said. But again, man, I mean, you told us yesterday a lot of things that are yelled at sidelines. It doesn't make it right.
A lot of my NFL life spent on them sidelines. The closest I've ever thought, a fullback named Jim Otis that played for the St. Louis Cardinals. He came up the steps towards one of my buddies that was yelling at him. That's the closest I ever thought, like, we're about to get killed.
Uh-oh.
This guy is there. He is going to beat the crap out of us.
Yeah, because he's going to have big buddy balls was
yelling,
until...
My buddy was yelling stuff, and I'm like, dude, shut up. Mm. Shut up. And he walked up the steps to get to, like, there were this small ramp, and there's... You know, the Cowboys at the time on the field had these guys that wore these silver jackets that were like security guys. And those guys grabbed him, but he was coming up the steps to come into the crowd.
Oh, wow.
To get us. And I'm like, dude, you're going to get it. You're going to get hurt. I never brought that guy back to the game again.
Probably a good call.
Never. I said, you're not coming any
games. We're not going to do this.
Yeah.
Did he ever call you? Hey, Broadus.
Yeah.
Any more games? Been playing Denver this Saturday. Dude, what's good?
I'll tell you what. I had a buddy that, like, he was a friend. I wouldn't say he was one of my best friends, but he was a friend.
He was a friend?
So, like, he went to a game with me. Like, I had a ticket. I'm like, you know, I just invited him just to say, I'm really superstitious. And so, like, we won.
Mm.
Then he came the next.
Okay.
He had a run of 6 games.
Oh, good for
him. And they lost. And he looked at me and he goes, well, I guess that's over.
It's been a good ride.
And I go, it's damn right it's over. Right.
I'm so happy.
6 weeks of watching football with you, and I just did it to be nice, but I'm so superstitious.
I would have done the same thing.
I looked at him. I said, he looked at me and smiled. Well, I guess this is over.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, let's shake on hands. Yeah. That was a fun run, buddy.
Yeah, you had a good, you were 5-1. Congratulations.
Job well done. All right, let's chat with Ian Eagle. CBS Sports will be on the play-by-play call for Cowboys Commanders on Netflix. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Next in the nation. Welcome back, Nation. About to catch up with Ian Eagle, CBS Sports and play-by-play for Netflix. He'll be on the call for Cowboys and Commanders. We'll, of course, have G-Bag of the Day and the Expressway coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, let's go out to the phones and welcome in Ian Eagle. Ian, how are you, sir? Thank you for coming on with us today. A privilege to chat with you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to talk to you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you as well, sir. So, obviously, this season has not gone the way we had hoped for our Cowboys. I think the Commander fans are feeling the same. But what are your thoughts heading into this matchup when you reflect back on where the Cowboys are right now?
Yeah, my viewpoint on any of these games is you do the game, and if the game takes you to certain places, if it's highly competitive, then we stick with the game. If it becomes lopsided, then that probably opens up your playbook a bit more, where you have to get into the review and how these two teams got here. But the general plan is usually to cover the action in front of you. In this particular case, I know both teams are motivated to win. You have the rivalry angle. You've got the fact that it's a standalone game on Christmas. And I think there's a lot of pride. You have these connections with Dan Quinn, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, now head coach at Washington. And then, obviously, Dallas did not have the kind of season that they expected. There's still a chance to get a couple of wins under their belt before wrapping things up. And, by the way, statistically, that means you would avoid a losing season. So these are all factors. I try to view these games through the same prism. Somebody out there cares. It matters to people. So do justice by it.
Ian, you've been a veteran in this for a long time, covered a lot of different sports, been outstanding at it. I just wonder, how is your pregame, like the meetings and opportunities, changed over the years for you? Is the athlete coach different today than it was, say, maybe 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think so, a little bit, because obviously Zoom has become a part of these. Today, our meetings were on Zoom. That's
sure.
Just how we could do them, based on the holidays, based on Christmas. And I think the other part, which is a really interesting angle, athletes today are at an age where they're accustomed to being on camera and talking into their phone and communicating in that manner. So what you would think would be stilted or awkward in some way really isn't. And it's the mode of communication for so many young people. The in-person meetings to me are still the ones that elicit the most human connections, because you can look in someone's eye, you can tell by their gestures, and they can also see where you're coming from. And I do think the back and forths with athletes are really important in order to get a better sense of the team that you're dealing with, coaches. But I will say probably a little more free and easy with information because they've done so many interviews leading up to your sit downs. It used to be the sit downs might be the only interview that a player or a coach does all week. And now the responsibilities, as we know, just based on what the teams need from them. I mean, these are production companies, basically, that every team employs, that they're making content every moment of every day. So you're just fighting now for a piece of the pie. And that was not the case when I started in 1998, meeting with players and coaches. So it's definitely evolved through the years.
What stood out to you from your meetings today?
Positivity, more than anything else. You never quite know what to expect. But everybody that we talked to in regards to both teams, to be perfectly honest, they were really good. They were forthcoming. There was a sense of, even though they're not making the playoffs, there's something to play for. You guys know with Dak, he's really sharp. He understands that part of the job, maybe as well as anybody in the NFL. He's always been good. I remember doing a Cowboy game season one of Dak Prescott. And was blown away by how he handled himself with the media, how mature he was. And now all these years later, he's absolutely nailed that part of the job 10 years into it. So my sense is that these guys are going to play hard. They're going to play well. I do think that Dan Quinn, for him, it is personal. He understands it from both angles, the Dallas angle, the Washington angle. The question marks with Washington is just, what are you going to see on offense? Is this Josh Johnson? If he's ineffective, does Jeff Driskel get an opportunity? I don't think Marcus Mariota is going to play, but they haven't ruled him out. They're definitely facing some deeper challenges compared to Dallas.
Ian, when you were sitting at Syracuse, did you ever think about, wow, I'm going to be on a streaming platform calling games?
I'd be very wealthy right now and would not be doing any of this stuff because I would have invested early in the process and the idea of it. You're right.
Yeah, I just wonder because, you know, Syracuse is such a great broadcasting school. A lot of very talented men and women have come through there. I believe it's the Newhouse School, if I'm correct that. And so I just wonder, are we training broadcasters? I'm sorry, I'm trying to be interested in the Cowboys Commanders, but I'm more interested in talking to you. But I wonder, are we training broadcasters for this next modem or the way to broadcast? I mean, is it going to be any different from doing games? And, you know, you did radio and growing up listening to the radio and all that stuff. How are we training broadcasters to be on these things now?
I think it's all cyclical. I do believe that the previous generation helps teach the next generation and things change a bit. I grew up at a time where it was Al Michaels and Pat Summerall and Dick Enberg as the main voices of the NFL on three different networks. And there was no avoiding the way in which they approached the game. And as a young broadcaster, certainly it resonated with me in how they did it. But I wasn't going to do an impression of what they did. I did my own version of it with maybe a little different take and injecting your own style and your own personality. I think ultimately, look, the job is still the job to call play-by-play, whether it's TV or radio.
Right.
How you distinguish yourself and how you separate yourself is really based on how you approach it, how you approach the job. Are you straight-laced? Do you just call the plays? Do you add your own sensibility to it? Do you add humor? Do you add some kind of talk component where you're willing to go places that other announcers aren't willing to go? We've seen that, obviously, with the hot take shows now on morning television. And I did sports radio for years and loved it. I really enjoyed that part of the business and had an opportunity to move into the play-by-play side, which was a dream, but employed a lot of the philosophies that I had from talk radio in terms of chemistry. Even today, when I'm working with new partners, this year it's been J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
To me, that stems from what you guys do. It comes from having to find commonality. It doesn't mean that you agree on everything. It doesn't mean that your personalities are the same, but you do have to find common ground in order to make for good conversation and for people to be comfortable. Ultimately, it doesn't matter if it's streaming on Netflix, if it's on Amazon, if it's on CBS. You have to make the audience comfortable. They have to feel like they're part of it. They have to be informed. They have to be entertained. And ultimately, the goal is to provide an easy listen for people, that it's not jarring, that people tune in and feel at ease when they're watching or listening to the broadcast.
What makes the perfect broadcast partner to you?
Well, for me, it's usually someone that's willing to volley a little bit, that
okay.
They're not just stuck in their lane. They're seeing the bigger picture. They understand that it is a combination. We're partners in this. And even it's interesting because I've worked with some analysts that were new to the position.
Yeah.
JJ this year, it's been new for him, and he took to it very quickly. He's really smart. He's really invested in the game. He loves football, and that comes across on the air. But the main aspect that I try to look at it through is I'm not there to just mentor him or coach him or teach him. That's part of it, but I'm there to be his partner. We have to be partners. So the dynamic to me has to be more along those lines of when we wrap up and take the headset off at the end of the game, we can look at each other and say, we did a good job together. Not just, hey, I did my job. What did I do? That's not how it works. You're judged as a combination, more so, I think, than ever before in broadcasting. I think people tune into a game, and they don't even know. They're forming opinions in real time, and sometimes not consciously. They're not even certain why they like a certain pair better than another pair, but they do have an opinion by the end of the game, which is, oh, I like these guys, or I don't like these guys.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very visceral, as we know. So I think with analysts that I've worked with, if they're willing to have a little bit of fun, if they have some self-deprecation to them, that means we can go to places that maybe you can't go with someone that takes themselves or the job a little too seriously.
Okay, here's another question for you. Is the broadcast blazer as cool as I think it is?
I mean, I would send you one if you wore a 40 short, but I've got like 30 of them.
Maybe in fifth grade, I could have done that for you. Yeah.
Maybe you know a kid out there that really wants to go to Halloween next year as a CBS announcer that wears glasses. It's funny. The first time I got it, I did a game for CBS in 1998. It was one of those one-offs where all of their announcers were in Nagano, Japan, literally.
Oh, Japan,
Every one of their announcers was working the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. So I got a call to see if I was available, and it happened to be All-Star Weekend in the NBA. So I was available. It was February of 1998, and the game was Vanderbilt at Arkansas, college basketball game. And I remember getting the call, and I worked it out with my schedule. And my first thought, which is kind of scary when you think back on it now, was, am I going to get a blazer?
You're going to get a blazer. Yeah.
Sure. This was not a long-term relationship. This was basically one game.
Yeah.
They said it, like, hey, we need you for one game. And the blazer came in the mail. And I really thought at that point, I was like, if I do nothing else in this industry, I'm going to have this blazer for the rest of my life.
I made it. Yes.
You're right.
I thought you were going to tell us when you had the Olympic coverage that they gave you some really good cold weather gear. I bet you get good cold weather gear too, huh?
I've gotten decent cold weather gear. I wouldn't call it great. There were a few that I would not have worn out in my everyday life.
Okay.
So, like, that's what it comes down to. Like, would I wear this or would I not? And there were a few that I was like, no, I would not wear.
All right.
Ian Eagle with us here in the G-Bag Nation. So another cool element of this, and we've talked a lot about, you know, where you went to school and the young broadcasters, but your son, Noah, is going to do the game after you, who's also a phenomenal broadcaster with NBC right now. He's going to do Lions-Vikings. So how cool is it being a part of this Netflix Christmas Day special and seeing your son now also broadcasting in the game following you?
Yeah, that part has been amazing. And to be perfectly honest, it's been more gratifying than my own situation, because you just want your kids to be happy. You want Amen. Your kids to do something that they yeah. love. And the fact that I get to check those boxes, that my wife now has to watch 6.5 hours of football straight through. She has absolutely dedicated her life. The first part of her life being my wife and having to watch all these sporting events. I don't know if she thought she was signing up for another 30 years of watching sporting events now with our son Noah doing it. But no, it's been really amazing, and it's a very, very cool dynamic for our family. It's not lost on us at all.
Well, thank you so much for the time, sir. Have an incredible call. Happy holidays to you and your family. We can't wait to listen to you on the broadcast, and enjoy it, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to you. Really excited. And you have my word that we're going to give it everything we got to make sure this thing is entertaining.
Yep.
And the fact that there's no playoffs on the line, that's out of our hands. But hopefully it's high-quality football, and we'll be right there with them.
Yeah, we're in good hands then with if you're behind the mic. So thank you for that, sir.
Really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There he goes, Ian Eagle, who's going to be on the call for the Netflix Cowboys Commanders game. As I mentioned, his son Noah going to be working with Drew Brees, who's on our pregame
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Drew did a great job.
He was fantastic
talking with us. Yeah.
So the second game will be Lions Vikings, and then the primetime game, of course, will not be on Netflix, but it's going to be fun. I mean, Kay Adams is going to be hosting for them. They'll have Devin McCourty, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, Austin Eckler, Gene Steratore will be a part of this. So excited to see what they've got going here with this Netflix Christmas Day coverage. Of course, we'll be doing the pregame 9 a.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan and the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Postgame will go till 6 o'clock, but awesome to catch up with Ian Eagle there.
That guy's a legend, though, man.
He is, man.
And it's so these guys that we get to talk to, you know, the Kevin Harlans and all that, they never take themselves too seriously, but they always. I was more interested in asking him broadcasting questions than
well,
I was
the blazer
about
the thing. I thought was great.
I would love to have one of those. You know, I want a bowl game blazer.
With the CBS logo on it?
I want a CBS logo on a blazer, but I also want to be like an Orange Bowl rep guy with the orange jacket with the bowl patch on it. I want one of those.
That'd be cool.
That's what I wanted to get.
Yeah, and the swag that they get. I am a little bit jealous.
Yeah, I am too.
All right, let's catch up with Mark Schlereth for our weekly visit with him. We'll talk with Stink coming up next here on 105 Through the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Thank you, Lucius. We've got the finest coming up at the top of the hour. Then we've got our Expressway, LA Live at 5:40 here on a glorious TD Tuesday in the G-Bag Nation. But let's welcome in our Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, Mark Schlereth. Mark, how you doing, man?
I am doing good. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you. And we have a lineman question for you because we got a big topic going on here in Dallas, all right? Tyler Smith gets kicked out to left tackle. And now there's a topic of conversation. Is this going to end up being permanent where they're moving their all-pro left guard to left tackle? How challenging is that? And would you ever in your wildest dreams even mess with moving your all-pro guard to tackle?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what his background is from, from a playing standpoint. I know that playing tackle is a lot more difficult than playing guard. I guarantee you that. But if you feel like he is a tackle and he can play that position, It's just a more valuable position, and it's a tougher position to play. Now, I'm one of those guys that never could have bounced out and played tackle. There's just no chance of that happening. I mean, I was going to play in the concrete. So it just all depends upon how that guy is wired, how he, you know, what he has done, what his skill set is. He's obviously a damn good player. So it's just a much more valuable position. It's a much harder position to fill. So if he can play it, then by all means, bounce him out there.
Stink, when you were playing guard and you know, you were kind of a hold 'em, trip 'em, clip 'em guy in a good way. I it's an admiration of that. But I was going to ask you about the difference, like with your hands and your feet. Did things happen to you inside a lot quicker than they do on the outside? Am I right about that?
Yeah, it's the space that gets you. It's the space that gets you. And frankly, it's the guys that play outside.
Yeah.
It's those defensive ends that all run 4-3, 4-5, whatever. And so it just becomes a much more challenging spot out there. You know, we always joke around, you're just out there in the water. You know, we're living live in the concrete in here. Yeah. So it's just a completely different deal. The other thing is with that space, oftentimes, you're to an open side. The guys have the ability to not only beat you with speed, but also turn and try to drive you into the pocket. And so there's just not as many bodies in there. As a guard, I was really conscientious and really understood the game from the standpoint of where can I funnel this particular player where I have either help or where I have body presence of other people. You know, all that kind of stuff. You just don't have that out there at tackle. So it's just a much more challenging position to play.
Cowboys, Commanders, Christmas Day. Obviously, both these teams, unfortunately, nothing to play for in terms of playoffs. But you were part of this rivalry, and I think it's one of the all-time rivalries in the NFL, and it's great when both teams are good together. It just hasn't been that way. But what are your memories from Cowboys and at your time Redskins?
Yeah, obviously – when I first got in the league, the Cowboys weren't very good. And then, of course, you had those 90s teams that were just some of the best teams in the history of this game. They were incredible. So, I just had a natural hate for the Cowboys. And that game, that stemmed from my childhood because I was a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And the reason I was a Steelers fan is because they won a lot, But I grew up in Alaska, and the first game in the morning was always the Steelers game. And so I'd watch the Steelers game in the morning, and then and the games kicked off at 7 a.m. in Alaska when I was a kid. So I'd watch the games in the morning, and then we would go to church, later on after those games were over. And so that was always the afternoon game, the Cowboys game. So I became a huge Steelers fan because those are the games I watched. And so I always hated the Cowboys, even when I came in to play for the Redskins. I have a lot of respect for them as an organization. I have a lot of respect for their history. And those, like I said, those mid-90s teams were unbelievable. The one thing I really remember, though, more than anything else, is when Jerry took over as a Cowboys owner, I think, in 89.
Right.
I remember going there in, like, 95. And I was with the Broncos at the time and sitting on the bench. And all the kind of the advertising that was going on, Jerry had stepped away from, the NFL, like, hey, we all do Coke and he does Pepsi or whatever it was. But I just remember sitting on the bench, as our offense was not on the field, and just hearing like every 15, 20 seconds. Stop by the concourse, 200 level, TCBY yogurt, the official yogurt of the Dallas Cowboys. And I'd be like, "Well, you guys shut up!" Like we're trying to have a meeting over here on the sideline, And it was just always kind of funny to me, but a lot of respect for those, like I said, those mid-90s teams. Those teams are great.
Hey, Stink, since you brought up Alaska, what's the one thing that we get wrong about Alaska that people always seem to get wrong about it as a state? Is there something that we just always, and when somebody says, you just go, man, that is absolutely not true. Is there something that we just totally butcher, botch, get wrong that just pisses somebody off from Alaska?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, nothing really. It was always funny because I learned a very valuable lesson. When I got drafted to the Redskins and I flew into, I flew into Washington, Dulles, Northern Virginia there.
Yeah.
And the time it was, the airport was there, and then it was like a jungle. I mean, it was like so densely populated with trees and everything else. It's so much more, it's so much larger now than it was then.
Right.
But I remember driving up and down the East Coast and just kind of laughing to myself because, people used to ask you questions about, mushing dogs to school or living in an igloo and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought the East Coast, growing up in Alaska, was all New York City.
Yeah.
That's what my vision of the East Coast was. The whole East Coast was New York City.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, it's as ridiculous as my, as people thought I grew up in an igloo. I had about as much, I was about as naive about what the East Coast actually was. Yeah. Growing up in Alaska. So it just is, it's just interesting. It was, Alaska is unbelievable. It's so gorgeous.
It is a gorgeous place.
Yeah, and the summertime, man, it's just nothing better.
No, it is.
Yeah, Steak, I had the problem when I went to school at LSU that all my teammates thought the episodes of Dallas, that's being from Dallas, that's what they thought I was.
Just ride a horse to
school.
That
I rode a horse to school every day, that kind of thing. I lived on a oil-producing land and stuff like that. It was just crazy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. It is funny. I remember Dallas, the show Dallas, and I used to watch it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would watch the beginning of it because it was like on those either Friday or Saturday nights where they had
Miami Vice. They had Miami Vice on too, after that,
Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard was on, and then the Love Boat in Dallas, and I would stay up and just watch the intro of Dallas just so I could see the stadium.
Then
I would turn it off. I never actually watched the show. I just wanted to see the stadium.
All right, Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth with us. Your Insider Colts brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. So you called Panthers Bucks, correct?
Yes.
So how was that? I mean, this battle for the NFC South, I know they're going to play again here, but do you think Carolina's going to win this thing?
Gosh, no, probably not. I don't know. They're the most mercurial team. They can play a pretty solid football game like they did on Sunday, and turn around and the week before lose to New Orleans, and then beat the Rams, and then lose to somebody else that's not very good. So they're really interesting. I think the one thing that really intrigued me about this game is that, I'm of the belief they've got to run the ball, that Rico Dowdle's got to be big. They've got to have that kind of production because I just don't think Bryce Young can beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular game, a couple of critical situations, 12 seconds left at the end of the first half, and Todd Bowles calls zero blitz, and he gives up, Bryce Young beats him to Teteroa McMillan for a touchdown. And then in the fourth quarter, they got to have it, got to have a drive. It's 20-20 and another blitz. And Bryce Young hits Jalen Coker down the sideline one-on-one, both beautifully throwing balls, both, throwing it in a milk carton essentially. And that was the first time where I really looked at it like, wow, Bryce Young, he doesn't have any problem diagnosing it. It's been the issue of getting the ball there. And he did it in a couple of different critical situations, also making some plays with his feet, keeping drives alive. I thought he played and I've done six Carolina games. Yeah. It was the best I have seen him play, the most efficient I have seen him play over the course of the six games that I've done. So I was pretty impressed, but there's still something about Baker Mayfield and Tampa at home, healthy, with a healthy wide receiving core that I still feel like eventually can win this division. You got to understand, Carolina plays Seattle in Carolina, and they've gone one since like week three. They're win loss win loss win loss win loss win loss the whole way, and so I think that they'll lose to Seattle, and then they have to go to Tampa to play, and Tampa's got Miami, so it should come down to week 18.
Stink, do you think with the thing with Bryce Young, he just doesn't fit our eye? what a quarterback's supposed to look like? Do you think that's the reason why sometimes we feel the way we do about him?
Sure. Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. But then I think you see some of the plays that don't get made.
Right.
And the other thing you see all the time with Bryce is, I mean, every game he seems to win, he's 14 of 22
right.
for 141 yards. You know, right. it never feels dominant. And he's a smaller cat, you know, he's
sure.
a smaller guy.
Yeah, smaller guy.
And all that stuff. So, yeah, it does not look like we want it to look. So
right.
that certainly is part of it, but still, it just, he feels like, and I could be completely wrong. He may light it up and, you know, keep growing, but you know, this is the best season he's ever had, and he's still at 63% completion.
Yeah.
And, you know, he still has very limited yards and, you know, touchdowns, the interceptions. It's still statistically isn't what you would expect it to be, but no, that said, I don't think Carolina's the most talented team either.
Mm. Sting, thank you so much as always, man. Enjoy the holidays. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he goes. Mark Schlereth with us here. You can check him out on the Stinkin' Truth podcast, of course, and shout out to Nationwide as well. Coming up next, let's get our football fix in. Things to know about the Commanders and Dak Prescott's guarantee. That's next in the Nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.